Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Sorry, I was just adding Kevin Huerter to my fantasy basketball team and dropping Jakob Poeltl. So that was very important that I had to get that done today because Huerter has a game today. This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon. Tommy, you ever play fantasy basketball?
No, I have not.
Does that surprise you that I play fantasy basketball?
No, it does not.
A little bit of a knucklehead here.
I'm of the belief that no other fantasy sport is worth playing other than football.
Baseball?
No, football.
Baseball?
And
you know rotisserie baseball was there like 1,000 years before football, right?
I know. Andy Herman, good friend, going to join us at 1 o'clock today as well.
Yep.
Like, lives and dies by fantasy baseball.
I don't live and die by it, but it's like the original, so I can't get away from it.
He swears it's the best one.
I know football exists and football rules and yada, yada, yada. This is the Mason Crosby Show. I'm Mitch Nellis. He's Tommy Wirtz. Joining us now on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law, one called That's All, our good friend Peter Bukowski. Peter, do you play fantasy basketball?
I do not currently play fantasy basketball, and I'm not at all surprised that Andy Herman loves fantasy baseball.
Of course he does. Of course he does. I'm kind of into it. My 15-year-old daughter is an NBA knucklehead. Like, she knows all the stats. Like, she'll pull something out, and I'll be like, how do you know that? Like, about a Sacramento King or like a LA Clipper. And I'm like, how do you know that? She's like, Dad, fantasy. Like, we have it because we share a couple teams. Like, every team I've brought her on as a co-owner now. So, like, she's like in it. So,
I have only the minorest of patience for fantasy football at this point in my life.
Yeah.
I used to be on a million teams and I've had to whittle it down. And even now, the team that I do have is like, I don't really care that much about it. I can't not do it. I can't not be on my waiver claims and stuff and still do the thing. But like, it's not with like a bunch of close friends where I really care about the outcome and there's crazy punishments. Like, I had to get away from that.
Yeah.
Cause it was a net negative on my life.
I totally agree. I think I have officially three teams. I probably have one that I care about. And like you, I had, you know, there was a time I probably had from year to year, I had anywhere from 6 to 10 teams year after year after year after year. And I love those guys. And some of the guys I miss, like some of my college buddies, we would be in touch for 4 months of the year, not the rest. So we've lost touch, and that's just
it
part
is
of
kind
it,
of right? an excuse for men to have conversations that they might not otherwise.
That's true.
But you got to pay for it.
But I would also be like, I'd be invited to weddings based on when the wedding was compared to when the football season was. Like, if they were getting married in May or June and we weren't in touch for 4 months, I wouldn't get a wedding invite from some friends. Like, I'm thinking of one specifically. But then if they had, like, a fall wedding, I was definitely on the list because we talked four times
a week. You were dialed in.
Exactly.
The problem with too many is you get competing interests.
Right.
You'll, like, have Jaden Reed going 1 week and then against the other week. And you're like, well, I don't, then that is the part that is so frustrating. Like, I just couldn't get over that part of it. It just hurt my brain.
Peter, if you were in a fantasy football playoff situation this week and you heard the news about Christian Watson, you've seen what he's done now over this time, but you saw him get hurt on Sunday. How are you feeling about Christian Watson and your reaction to the news that he could be ready to go on Saturday?
Limited participant today.
What a story to go from the hospital, the literal hospital, on Sunday night to playing on Saturday in a different city. These guys are just, they are outrageous freaks of nature in so many different ways. And look, I made this joke on Axe. It's not really a joke. Like, I know people get on Christian's dad for some of the things that he says.
Mm-hmm.
If I were Christian Watson's dad and I was a former NFL player, I would not shut up on Twitter at all. I would be even more insufferable than I am now. So just understand, like, Christian is an incredible, incredible story already. And now to be here, I actually had our Locked On Lakers host texted me two nights ago and was like, so what do I do with Christian Watson? Like, I gotta make a decision. This is very apropos of our conversation.
Yeah.
I gotta make a decision. I got someone I can pick up that I would play instead of Christian. Like, should I do this? And I told him, I said, I don't know. Like, I don't know if the risk is worth it. And then if he'd have texted me today, I would have been like, make sure he's in your starting lineup, because if he plays, he's going to go off like this. He was so good against Chicago this last time, and they just don't have anybody to cover him. And now Kyler Gordon is out for the rest of the season. It's going to be CJ Gardner-Johnson in the slot. That's a matchup advantage for the Packers, especially if it's Christian Watson.
But more importantly, did you work out a Giannis trade to the Lakers? Like, is that what your locked on Lakers guy was really after?
Luckily my guys know better than to try.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good to hear. Peter Bukowski joining us, Locked On Packers, founder of The Leap. We started with Christian Watson, so let's stick with Christian Watson. What does his presence, like, literally, I think we thought they would ease him in, and maybe that first game they eased him in a little bit, but since the jump this year, he's been WR1 for this Packers team, clearly better than everyone else. What has he meant, not just to the offense, but to Jordan Love specifically?
It has been, I think he played 55% of snaps coming back from ACL in 9 months. Like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And the Packers traditionally were not like that. They were very conservative. It seems like there's been a change in the last year with the way that they handle some of these injuries. They're pushing guys to play. We want you out there. We want you out there. Matt LaFleur, I think, has a different perspective maybe than even, you know, Mike McCarthy did about it. His presence, it's not just the gravity that he creates anymore, right? It used to be, you know, you had to have him out there because his speed was just different. It was game changing. He can now win one-on-one against just about anybody.
It's amazing.
And that is what is so unique about where he is now in his development. He has become a more polished route runner. He had a play against Chicago where on the sack that Love takes, he has snapped off the corner on a deep comeback. And the thing about receiver is everything is a go ball until it's not. That's the way you're supposed to play. So he's running that go ball, and that corner, he's got oh shoot speed. You gotta be bailing. And then he just hits the brakes, and it's would have been an easy pitch and catch had Aaron Banks not taken the quickest L imaginable on that play. He became the do-it-all kind of receiver for this team, especially against man coverage. Teams were not playing man coverage. The Broncos are the heaviest man coverage team in the NFL. They played 75% zone coverage against the Packers. That tells you how they feel about Jordan Love, and that tells you how much they respect Christian Watson, even with Pat Surtain in their defensive backfield.
So what about the rest of this wide receiver room now too, Peter? Because if Christian Watson is ready to go, it's obviously going to amplify what they can do on the offensive side against Chicago. But Jaden Reed now trying to work his way back into things. Looks like he's started to find his rhythm. And surprisingly, to expand the room a little bit, I thought the tight end production against Denver was looking pretty promising as well, as they did it by committee with that rack, roll after catch, that Luke Musgrave has and has done such a great job. We call him Baby Deer Legs on this show. He just falls every single time. You know this already, Peter. You've watched the games.
If Love would have put that ball on him, though, he might have. That might have been a 60 or 70 yard play.
We agree. But it wouldn't have been, because he would have found a way to find the ground.
He would have tripped. He falls.
But just in general, like, having Christian Watson is obviously the ideal scenario for this Green Bay Packers team against Chicago. But what is your confidence level if they don't have Christian Watson in this game, based on what you've seen in the last coming weeks from the rest of the offensive weaponry?
It's still high, because so much of their production against the Bears in high leverage spots was Jordan Love. You know, Christian Watson wins on, you know, that deep over route, but that's designed. That's built into the concept. And Jordan Love made a little adjustment on that play. That was supposed to be a stop route that he turned into that cross country route. And the touchdown, the second touchdown, we got to differentiate which touchdown from Christian Watson.
Right.
On the zero blitz look, he gives him a little hand signal. Thank you, Aaron Rodgers, 2022.
Yeah, that was awesome. Just that little something.
Maybe it was this. I don't know. But that was the change, the play at the line of scrimmage. He identified the pressure and got it. So, like, if that's Matthew Golden, as long as he knows the hand signal, I trust Matthew Golden, for example, to win on that same sort of concept. He threw a touchdown to Bo Melton. Like, come on. Like, this team has plenty of guys against this secondary, which I think is eminently gettable because they don't rush the passer well, mm-hmm. that as long as you can block up the protection on blitz looks, which Dennis Allen, I'm interested to see, like, Jordan Love cooked that blitz. I believe the numbers were like, it was like 9 of 12 for 170 yards and 3 touchdowns against the blitz. I mean, some preposterous number. I don't have it quite in front of me, but it's something like that. And all 3 touchdowns were on blitzes. Is Dennis Allen going to do the same thing? Or is he going to do the Vance Joseph, we'll just try and rush you with 4 and play zone coverage?
Oh.
I think Jordan Love will cook them again if that's what they try and do. Because this team just cannot get pressure with 4 men. They just can't do it. And so that's why I'm still very, very bullish on this Packers team against the Bears, because I just think the offensive advantages Green Bay has are intractable for Chicago, given their current roster construction. There's just nothing Chicago has short of creating 3 or 4 turnovers, which they can do, of stopping this Packers offense.
Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, joining us on the Mason Crosby Show. It's a Human Wednesday, so Mason's doing his human thing, so we get Peter to ourselves. And so we have to look on the other side of the ball, of course. And, you know, first I want your reaction to the injury, the Micah Parsons injury, in live time, when we all knew it was non-contact, so we knew what had happened. But now that it's Wednesday, how has your brain kind of formulated what the Packers could or should do on the field to make up for an insurmountable loss, frankly?
Can you guys think of a time where a Wisconsin sports team looked destined to win, or at least have a chance to win the Super Bowl, and one injury felt so devastating to their chances outside of the Giannis injury in, right. in when they won the title? Like, in the real time, that felt like it.
Yeah.
But also, he was like, within 3 or 4 days of that, we were like, actually, it's not that bad, right? Like, we kind of knew pretty soon after that. It just looked really bad in real time. Can you think of another moment like this in 25 years of Wisconsin
sport? I know the Packers went 2-5-1 without Aaron Rodgers, and then he came back.
I also think that
Aaron maybe, but not quite the same, no.
But that team the 17 team did not feel like a Super Bowl team, and I don't think the 13 team did either.
Tommy, what do you got?
I said Devin Williams when he punched the wall, too. That one also felt pretty stupid.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know what I mean? Christian Yelich.
I don't know if they were really Super Bowl or World Series bound that year, but when Devin Williams punched the wall, it was over.
The Yelich back injury, that
when he got hurt in early September after having what would have been a back-to-back MVP season.
I think that is probably as close, but also baseball is so weird that you just kind of never know what's going to happen in the postseason. But so that was my first thought. But with some time to ruminate on it, how much does it really change the way you feel about this defense from August? Like, thinking mid-August,
right?
Micah Parsons was not on this team,
right?
And I was saying, look, what's crazy about this, guys? And you guys know that I like the underlying metrics. I'm a dork about that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. This defense is worse than last year's defense by those underlying metrics.
Yeah.
And so
we actually have a theory about that.
So I'd love to hear the theory. But the secondary has played worse. The coverage overall has been worse. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to attribute that to. Kenny Clark, guys, like Kenny Clark, a legendary Packer, was bad last year. So him being on the team in August did not change my feeling about the way this pass rush would look.
Right.
What I was saying was, you need Lucas Van Ness to take a step forward.
Yep.
He looked like he was ready to do that, right? Didn't he? Like, training camp, he looked great. Early season, he looked great. And then he got hurt and couldn't. He's not been able to stay healthy. I said Evan Williams is going to take a step forward. I said Javon Bullard is going to take a step forward. They did those things. Now we're getting the reporting. Evan Williams might be out a couple weeks. That would really suck.
Yes.
Of course. But you sort of just said you got to trust Jeff Hafley to ham and egg this, to put this together. And I think that has to be the plan now. It's going to have to be more on Jeff Hafley. Want a head coach job, buddy? Here's your chance to go earn it.
And he kind of did that last year. I mean, last year he had to ham and egg it. And
do you remember the Philadelphia game? AJ Brown and Devontae Smith were not open all game.
Yeah.
And the one touchdown to Dallas Goedert, it's been a recurring theme for Carrington Valentine, but he put Carrington Valentine in the dirt on fourth down.
Cannot tackle.
On a zero blitz guy, like, it would be the same if he didn't have arms playing out there. But like, they had everything not just schemed up, but scouted and ready to go for that game. Like, they're still capable of putting together these game plans where you're just sort of like, they're on everything in this game.
So with Jeff Hafley having to get in his bag on defensive schemes now without Micah Parsons, his job does get a lot harder at during this time. What are some solutions that intrigue you, Peter? Because I've thrown out a mix of moving whoever you would like to of Cooper or Walker. Just give him a couple looks on the outside. Not we've seen it from Quay Walker. We've seen it from Edgerrin Cooper. And nothing more than maybe what you would see from Micah Parsons coming from the inside, right? Mm-hmm. Like just mixing it up a little bit and trying to get some more of that athleticism on the outside. And another guy just got put out on waivers today, Matthew Judon. I know he's a little bit past his prime, but there's no one else to go out and grab. Is it a name that intrigues you in any way or any other scheme that you think would be interesting to go up against Chicago for Jeff Hafley?
I think it is Jover for Judon. That name does not intrigue me at all, unfortunately. Okay. What does intrigue me, though, is last year the Packers leaned into a much heavier diet of cover two. And the reason they did that is because they needed to protect their corners. It's the same corners. You still need to protect them. And Ben Fennell had this great stat via Next Gen Stats. This year, league numbers against cover two, which used to be like, you know, in the 90s, the Tampa two was everywhere. Everyone played it. But 29 touchdowns, 47 interceptions this year against cover two. A 6.7 sack rate, 149 sacks around the league against cover two this year, and an EPA per dropback in the negatives. You'd have to be like the 25th or 26th best quarterback in EPA per dropback to have a negative EPA in that same range. So you're talking about one coverage makes the league's quarterbacks play like below average quarterbacks. And it's the one coverage the Packers last year played more than anybody else. I think you're going to see them lean a little bit more into that. And Matt LaFleur mentioned it. Like, they prepped all season, all offseason, to play with this group. Like, the group that they're going to play on Saturday is the group that they prepared for 6 months to be their football team. So I don't think this is going to be a shock. Those guys prepared for this to be the football team. And I think in the case of Evan Williams, they have a really good built-in plan. Nate Hobbs' best position in Las Vegas was in the slot. Javon Bullard, when he was in the same draft class with Evan Williams, was the no-doubt day-one starter at safety opposite David McKinney. And only got to play, what, six games there because Jair Alexander couldn't stay on the field and they had to move Keyshawn Nixon outside and created this cascade effect. So you move Javon Bullard back to safety. Nate Hobbs is now in the slot. I think that can still be a pretty good group defensively. If you're going to get a healthy version of Lucas Van Ness, he practiced today as we're recording this. He's actually literally on the practice field right now.
Yep.
That I think can be a big boost too, but you're going to have to lean into more simulated pressures, more coverage disguises, take a little bit more risk. And I don't think that's a bad thing because I think Jeff Hafley's really good at that stuff specifically.
Peter, you sound optimistic. I got to say, like, I feel like you're the way you're talking about Christian Watson, the way you're talking about the defense without Micah Parsons.
Yeah, don't go back and listen to my post-game.
You sound like an optimist, man. Okay. I think we were all in that place, though, after that game, right?
Well, because Christian Watson was going to the freaking hospital.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
And how badly on the field everything spiraled out of control.
Right. I think we have to remember too, it's not just where did it end? Where did it end relative to how we felt an hour before that? Like when the Packers were up 9 and Jordan Love hard play action and heaves the ball down the field, isn't your immediate thought they're going to just go win this game on this play?
They're up 16. They just cut another touchdown to Christian.
Right. Yep. It felt like that. And you're like, and I was already like in my head, all right, who do I have to tweet? Who do I have to send notes to? Who do I have to text? What do I have to send out to gloat about this?
Yep.
And then to have it all ripped away. But don't forget, guys, for as bad as it felt in the second half, Jordan Love and the Packers offense had, I think, 3 different chances in the second half to tie the game.
Yeah.
And that included 2 fourth down stops in the fourth quarter with under 5 minutes to go with a Micah Parsons and Evan Williams-less defense.
Yes.
And so they kept fighting. They kept playing their asses off. And I expect that to continue. And so given that Christian Watson seems like he's going to be okay and that Zach Tom, whether he plays this week or not, is not a long-term injury, that gives me a lot of faith. I can't sit here, guys, and for the last year and a half, tell you I think Jordan Love is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and not feel like this team has a chance.
Yeah.
Like once you are in that range, if you have a top 10 quarterback, and Jordan Love unequivocally to me has been a top 5 quarterback in the NFL this year. If you have that guy, you should expect to win every freaking week. There's a reason why they're favored in every game they play the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. So if they win all those games, they're going to win the NFC North. They're going to be the 2 seed and they're going to be favored in a home playoff game, probably against the Chicago Bears in on wild card weekend, and that is like
sign me
what
up.
What do you have to be worried about?
Yep, sign me up. I'll take that right now. Well, Peter, I'm here for it.
And you bring up a great point there, saying. Peter. Like again, I as well have been a Jordan Love stan, Jordan Love truther this entire time, and so why would I waver off of if we do have a guy? We just saw that for the last 30 years, that as long as you have a guy who you believe in that is in the top five, top 10, wherever you want to put him, like you always got a chance. And everyone on the outside has been jealous that the Packers have always had a chance. Like yeah. They are always in a game because of the guy who puts his hand underneath center or stands 5 yards away now in today's NFL. But like this has to be like I feel like we have not talked about Jordan Love enough in this week leading up to this. Is this game bigger?
Thunder.
Oh, God. All right. I'll take it. That's fine. I don't talk about him because I know. Like, I know. Yeah. I especially if Christian Watson's playing, I know that Love's going to ball out. I'm worried if Watson's not there just because I'm worried guys can't get open. But I know Love's going to ball out, especially if Watson's there. Go ahead, Tom.
Is this game bigger for Jordan Love or Caleb Williams?
This was a first take segment, and I know people will like drag first take stuff. I love the question. Mm-hmm. And I like my immediate reaction when I heard Jeff Saturday said it's bigger for Jordan Love. I went, that's nonsense. It can't be Jordan Love. But you know what? The more I thought about it, if your expectation is that Jordan Love is a top five quarterback, then the answer is always on the better player. Mm-hmm. The answer should always be there's Jordan more Love. Pressure on the better player.
Yep.
That is just like, that is the heavy lies, the crown.
I love that.
Kind of thing. And so the answer is Jordan Love because his team is injured. They just lost their best player. One of the five best players in the NFL probably, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now the pressure is on Jordan Love to show, look, I can still, in a de facto playoff game, I can still carry this football team because I think that's the last step for him, isn't it? To show, like Aaron Rodgers before him, like Brett Favre before him, he is capable of taking a less than perfect team and winning big games in those moments. And so I think there is a lot of pressure on Jordan Love, but guess what? I expect Jordan Love to play well on Saturday. Right. I expect Matt LaFleur to have a lot of answers to the Dennis Allen stuff.
Let's go.
And so I also
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Expect Thunder to tell Andy Herman that Tommy said I made a good point.
I will definitely tell him that. And as I have my two TVs up here, I've got Pat McAfee, AJ Hawk, and JJ Watt on one. I've got Mitch Nellis, Tommy Wirtz, and Peter Bukowski on the other. And I know which trio I'm picking all day, every day. Let's go. It's us, by the way, in case you're
obviously it's us.
Peter, thank you so much for jumping on. Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, joining us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Have a great Saturday night. Have a great holiday. And we'll definitely catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. All right. That is Peter Bukowski joining us on the guest hotline. Plenty of more to get to, including Andy Herman at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.